On pasuk vav. Okay, we learned over here pasuk vav zayin ches. Bamo akadem Hashem yikav lo ke barom. What shall I present Hashem, and how shall I humble myself before the lokei maroim? So the Radak says over here on page 509. Bamo akadem Hashem in yomar echad bikem. Let's say one of you will say, one of you will suggest beize mincha akadem es Hashem. What gift shall I present Hashem sheyirtzeba that he will be satisfied with? Uvamo ikafloi. What should I do to humble myself? The second part of the pasuk is just an explanation of the first. It's self-explanatory. That what kind of oil is the best? Shem toivim v'nifchadim and egel ikaf is delicious. Ikaf, there goes into some grammar. Sharsha, the root is kof pei, v'hu mi binyan nifol, meaning nifol, to be humbled. Nifol means it affects you. Nifol, the effect, the verb, the action of the word is applied internally towards yourself. Okay, hayirtze. Does Hashem want zohar hanifchadim b'min habasa lechol? We discuss now the best. V'amar oid o shema yirtze b'ruvayf hamin chavibi Hashem wants minachos v'hu ma'ashom abalfi elim b'ruvayz minach l'shamin v'al v'ze al derech haflogo. This is an exaggeration. K'moy naharei nachalei d'vash v'chema, rivers and streams of honey and cream. This week's parash we have chema. What does it say? Chema v'cholav. Chema in modern Hebrew, we always say this, is butter. Right. But in biblical Hebrew, it's cream. Right. And Rashi says explicitly so. What you take off from the top of milk, it's clear as day that chema, it's interesting, why did it happen that in the difference in modern Hebrew and biblical Hebrew, such a basic word, but chema clearly means cream, not butter. Next, ha'etein b'chori pishi, oy shema lo yirtze b'menachas u'behemos. Maybe Hashem is not satisfied with animal offerings in menachas. Hashem wants human sacrifices. Ela b'misha chaviv alai b'mbonai. Hashem wants... He wants children. Hashem wants me to give him my children. And the pasuk repeats itself, the same idea, poetic repetition. Maybe Hashem wants to give the fruit of my womb as an atonement for my soul. Kolemar in etin pri vidni bavur chatas nafshi. We take medicine pri vidni chibuv me'ai. Okay, it's very important. Targum, the love of my womb, of my innards, my stomach, which is an expression. Kolemar, this is very important because targum is here to translate. The targum is not here. We have more table quarters here. Soon we'll have people.
It's almost like
Rakeva. Rakeva, it's pretty sad. The way it
you
sounds like.
Rakeva and the way they had the paper quarters on the desk, and I remember when this
it was a photo.
It was like there were 15 paper quarters on the desk.
Who? By who?
By the Rav.
But by the Rav, they had people coming. People in the audience
the
was packed.
He threw me out because I wasn't in a shir. I came in just to listen the first time because Rabbi Borenstein wasn't there. We went in, and guys said, "Let's go to the shir." We looked around the room, there were like 75 boys in the room, the desks were on top of desks, and it was very crowded. He looked around, he started to talk, and then he looked at me and Michael Bruce, and he said, "Excuse me, are you my Shia?" He said, "No, we just came to listen," and said, "You're going to have to leave. I have no room for my own Talmud."
Wow.
Yeah, but there was a photo there.
I couldn't believe he really, the way the room was, I couldn't believe he noticed that we weren't in the class. He had cataracts already.
That's why.
He's
blinded by
you. Now, this is very interesting because we expect the Targum, both the Targum Unkelis and the Targum Yonis Ben Uziel, also first to tell us the literal translation. It's when the Targum starts translating words with metaphors, it's almost that's not the point of the Targum. The Targum ordinarily gives us, at least Unkelis, gives us a very, very literal, a very basic translation of the words on its simplest level. Ketagam Yonasim ben Uzilan Chumish, he embellishes it, the psukim with a Mamar Chazal, it's definitely true, but you still are able to see the literal translation in the words more often than not. Okay, here it's interesting, because here he says, Privitni, the fruit of my beten. And he translates this to be, the chibuv me'ai, the love of my stomach. Now those are not really literal translations. Maybe me'ai, my children, it means my children. But it's interesting how he, if you would expect to say my children, let's let him just say my banim, the Aramaic word for children. That's not what he says. He says what I love. He adds a lot more flavor into what a person is going to give Hashem as a korban. Kolaymar, ha'ahuv v'ha'chaviv shebebonai, I will give Hashem, maybe what he means is the most beloved. I'm not just going to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu any child. I'm not going to go take the child that I do not like. I'm going to take the child that is the most beloved and I will offer him as a sacrifice to Hashem. Pasuk Ches, Hashem now responds. The Navi responds in the name of Hashem that all of the above is not correct. Hashem does not want korbanos, does not want human sacrifices. What does Hashem want? Higid l'cho adam ha'toiv zehu ma'aneh al ha'she'ela. This is the response to the question. Amar ein chefzi be'oilos ki im ba'asois ha'toiv. Hashem wants you to do good. K'moshe amar Shmuel ha'novi hinei shemoya. Listening mizevach toiv. Someone actually quoted this yesterday, that listening is more important to Hashem than offering a sacrifice. Ba'asois mishpat yichlol Kol ha-mitzvot sheben adam l'chaveru k'mo nizkei mamon v'dvar ma'achedim. Mishpat, according to him, is to be understood, it refers to ben adam l'chaveru. Gam ha-aroyos b'chloloi k'mo shnemar es mishpatai ta'asu k'sivachvav ervas avicha v'ervas imcha. Aroyos is also in the category of mitzvot ben adam l'chaveru, because it affects human relationships, yeah?
Does it seem to be going back and forth between listening and action? Sorry, Hinei Shemoa Mizevach Tov.
Okay, that's not that pasuk over here. That's in the.
I know.
Right.
But here he says, Be'im Ba'asos Tov, right? That's the answer. To do good. And here, then he goes on to prove it by listening, right?
Okay.
Then, asos mishpat, made on the machaveh, back to action.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe it's...
Okay, he's citing various psukim in Tanakh, which bring out the same idea that Hashem wants you just to be a good person. Sometimes being good means to listen, sometimes being good means to do. We say every day, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Does that mean only listen?
But it's a comparison to, don't just bring me korbanos, that's meaningless.
Talk is cheap. Or even just being passive is also not sufficient. There has to be asos. There has to be kiyum asos mishpat. Positive actions. You have to reinforce your morals with taking it lemaisa, doing things. We all know that a person has to, we have mitzvahs. It's not just enough to go sit and learn the whole day. You have to actually put what you learn into practice and do a maisa. Okay, you're right. In a chanami, we are vacillating between listening and doing because one is tolui in the other. Naseh v'nishma. It's really nishma, naseh v'nishma. Okay, that's a very, very popular drush. In Parashas Yisro, it says, Kol asher dibur Hashem, naseh. And then it says, no, it says nishma. First it says nishma. I'm sorry, it says nishma. In Parashas Yisro, I don't remember. It says Naseh, but there's another place that says Nishma. There's a lot of Torah that it says Mishpatim, it says Naseh and Nishma. And elsewhere it says Naseh. And there's another pasuk that says Nishma. And if you take the entire thing together, the Darshanim, they tell you it's not just Naseh and Nishma. It's a very long process. It's Nishma, Naseh and Nishma. That's the popular Jewish. It's first Nishma. You guys gotta listen. You first gotta know the halacha. Then there's Naseh. then you do the mitzvah, and then you go back and then you study the mitzvah again and understand the deeper meaning of the mitzvah. Nishma, nase, nishma. And then there's another pasuk that says nase, which means then do the mitzvah again. There's a continuous cycle in life of nishma, nase, nishma, nase, back and forth, if you take all the psukim in the Chumash and you combine them together in a series, you'll come away with a whole storyline, a series of all these things you have to go back and forth. Let's go further. Okay, v'havas chesed on page 511, v'avas chesed min aroiloi. A person should do more than really he's obligated to do. Every person needs to do gemilas chasadim, but over here Hashem is giving us instruction to the Navi Micha that Hashem wants you to do more than you are obligated to do. And then it says v'atzne leches v'lokecha hu yichud hokel yisparach. This is the designation v'havasai. Hashem, there's nothing but Hashem. V'havasai, his love b'chol levavai b'chol nafsho. He almost sounds like he is a chosid, and he says l'shem yichud. Okay, to say the shame yichud. What's yichud? The unification of Hashem's name. What does that mean? I have no idea. Liyachet shame yudke bivavke. To take these two shemois and bring them together, whatever this
maybe
means,
it's
but.
Ki yod
al keiska.
He said it's only half of God's name.
Hashem's name.
And until Amalek is destroyed. In other words, if Mashiach comes.
To bring Mashiach. So you take only what's until now. It's Hashem's throne is choser. It's only yud kei. And we now have to bring Mashiach by adding the vav kei. What's the vav kei represent? Who knows? These are the only Kabbalah.
But
yeah?
Unification. I think two ideas. One being that Hashem has all these powers from A to Z that other, right, those people who the Zohar believe that you had to, that each deity had to be specialized with a certain power or a certain domain, and Hashem covers all the powers and all the domains, and in that way is unified. The other way is, as you often mention, is time. Is it right, past, present and future, Hashem is unified in that sense.
He says something very, very deep. You really shake me up. He's saying that Yichud means combining time. L'shem Yichud Kudush
Abrichu.
Because in order to preach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to combine all the moments of time. By Hashem, Hashem is Yudke Vavke. He's saying something very, very deep. I've never heard this before. Yudke Vavke is Hoya Hove V'Yeh. The letters Yudke Vavke is a composite of three words. Hoya Hove V'Yeh. Past, present, future. And you're explaining that when we say L'Shem Yichud Kudush Abruchu B'Shchinde B'Dechilu Urechimu, that whole Nusach, man lives in a world, this world, which is broken down into units of time. Okay, in 1 hour, we learned yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever it was, there are 58,888 moments in a single hour, which comes out to, someone said, 0.06 of a second. So there's 58,888 of those. Similarly, maybe the Chazal are trying to tell us, maybe that is the smallest amount of time that a person, average person, is able to grasp, which makes sense. I think the average person can grasp a half a second. A second is one second. A half of that person knows.
1 second is about.
Maybe not. Maybe if Chazal are telling us that 58,888, they're trying to tell us that a human being is capable of reflecting on a half a second. Oh, it's not so unreasonable. It's not so unreasonable. Point 0.06, right? No. I made a mistake. That's impossible. Right, a half a second. Right, so I made a mistake. Right, that's too much already. A half a second, maybe. But this is 0.06. So this is going way beyond that. You're right. Okay. But in any event, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to appreciate Hashem, you have to look at the big picture. And the big picture spans the beginning of time to the end of time. In a person's lifetime, you have a small degree of that. You could see things differently later in life than earlier in life. You see the big picture. And that's really the yichud of Hashem, because Hashem is one. spans the entire time. It's very deep. And before you said, the other thing you said is power. What you said? You said that the Shem Yichud Kodesh Baruch Hu has many different types of power. That what you tried to say?
Encompassing all
the various forms of power. There's rachamim, there's gevura, there's din, there's mishpat. Each one has its own flavors,
domains.
All everything together is one. Yeah.
In Hebrew, Amila Yichud kolelet four, actually five words. Echad, Yachid, Meyuchad, Meuchad, Meyachad.
Wow. Is this in your sefer? Is this in your sefer?
What?
Is this in your sefer?
No.
Then you say what you just told me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad. Hu Yachid. Hu Echad, but maybe there is somewhere else. Hu Miyuchad, he's special. Hu Meuchad, he combines, every Tov, Vera, everything. And he is together with me. If I believe in him, so we are Yachad.
Yachad. Very, very
Hashem,
nice.
Yichud Hashem means all these.
All of these together. Very, very
take
nice.
Take five words and make it one word.
So what are the five words again? Echad.
Yachid.
Yachid. Miyuchad. Ma'achid.
Meuchad.
Meuchad. Meuchad. And Yachad. Yachad. Very nice.
I don't know, really.
Gotta write this down later. Very, very nice.
That's emunah here. Asot mishpat is maaseh. He says, ben adam lechaviro, it's not, I believe in my friend. What do you mean? Your friend is you have to do. Nizakim, kol advarim haele. It's everything is action. But Hashem, ahavat Hashem, at Hashem. And so it's all spiritual.
All comes together. All comes together.
No maaseh.
Everyone has a chassid today, I say. Everyone has a new mahalach and shem yichud. Everyone became a chassid today. Okay, very good. What?
Even if we don't say it.
Okay, we once gave a shiur. There's one l'shem yichud everyone says. Everyone should say, even the biggest misnagid. Even the biggest misnagid, and that's for tefillin. Tefillin. Tefillin, the l'shem yichud for tefillin is in a class by itself. It's in a class by itself, and even people who don't say one L'Shem Yichud their entire life do not object to saying the L'Shem Yichud when you put on your tefillin. Your tefillin. Got to come early to say it. Okay, let's go for it. Also,
and
by the way,
every sitter, it's there.
It's there, yeah, people.
Other
and by the way,
that's
right. Very important. Everybody said, very important. I mean, we said this out in the shiur before, is that if you come late to shul and you put on your tefillin right away, you just put on your tefillin right away, when davening is over, you can still say the L'Shem Yichud. Just because, of course, you look at a chassid, you know, the L'Shem Yichud, the whole hanah of saying the L'Shem Yichud is before you do the mitzvah. That's right. Before you do the mitzvah, you're supposed to say that's correct. But if you come late, you can do tashlumin on a L'Shem Yichud. There's no harm done after davening is over, before you take off your tefillin, to say the L'Shem Yichud. It forces you to reflect that you're wearing the tefillin on your head and what is in the tefillin and what the purpose of the tefillin are. So people make that mistake, especially when it comes to Pesukei Dezimra, there's a machlekes in the Paiskim, if you come late and you skip, thank you very much, you're too good to me. It's really unnecessary, but not more than one. Just more than one. All right. There's nothing wrong making it up at the end of davening. The only question, are you obligated to do so, and if you accomplish anything in the spiritual world, as if we know what's going on in the spiritual worlds. But there are some places that say that, like, let's just talk about Pesukei Dezimra. Pesukei Dezimra, if you come late and you skip, is there an obligation to recite what you've skipped after davening is over? There are some hold yes. You really have not concluded, finished your have not davened properly if you did not recite every single thing that it says in the Siddur for Pesukei Dezimra, both Shabbos and weekday. And you have to make it up. Others say no. Once you missed it, it's a Me'uvas She'enoy Yochol Nisqon. You can't make it up. Now, you can still say it. Just because according to those opinions you've messed up and you didn't say it in the proper place and you're not going to succeed in rectifying what was lacking when you said the pasuk of the Zimra, but no one will tell you that you can't say it after davening if it's choviv to you and you never miss, and you don't want to miss today, even though today you're not going to be able to say it within the framework of when it's meant to be said. There's no harm in saying it later on.
If you come in time for a barfla, is it better to do barfla and continue with the minyan?
With all the halachas, there's a whole shulchan aruch what to do in this case. There's not for now. There's a whole shulchan aruch.
Do brachas on my shul, and half, three quarters of the shul is walking in like halfway through somewhere.
It's a joke. The whole thing is a joke. It's mamish a joke. It's a galach, the whole thing. That's the way we live today. Okay, only by you. That's 90% of the world. That's not the way to daven. The way to daven is, like a new rule, you come late, lock the doors. Really?
We'll have a minion.
What? So there won't be a minion. So maybe won't be a minion. You know, there's a story with Steinman. I'm trying to bring it up from my memory. The story was they I don't remember the exact details, but the principal came of a girls' school and told Rav Steinman, I have a very big problem with the girls. They're very bad. They're bratty. And they fight with each other. They say there's a lot of rivalry and lashon hara amongst the girls. I don't know if this was elementary school, high school. I don't remember the details. It's in the book. There's rivalry. There's a lot. You read the book?
No.
You read the book. What?
I don't remember what it was.
But you read the book?
Yeah.
So you read the book. So do you remember? So there was some rivalry and I don't remember. It was elementary. So Rav Steinman said, tell me the Seder Hayom. So the first thing we do, they daven. They come to school and they daven. I don't know how the girls daven. They don't have a minyan, whatever. They daven together. They daven together. I guess someone leads the davening. Whatever they do, they do. And then there's this. So Rav Steinman says, okay, tell them no davening. No davening, just daven at home. Cancel that part of the curriculum, that part of the Seder Hayom. And when they'll ask you why, say, I don't remember the lumdus. He says, you don't deserve to daven. Is if you have no derech eretz for one another, then your tefillah is a to'eva, something along those lines. And forget it. It's not kedai. Skip the davening. And like the principal says, what? What? You're telling me? I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you. You're wasting your time. No davening in this school. And he couldn't believe it. And because he asked him and he had great respect for him and you know, you can't argue with him, he came back and he said, no, it was no more davening. He davened at home. And everyone was, wow. And Rav Steinman says, there's no derech eretz. So it's just bracha levatol. Everything just a waste. It shook them to the core. It shook them to the core where right away all the problems came to an end. It solved all the problems. Now, it worked out. You can't generalize this story.
Yeah.
This story may have worked in that particular instance. I mean, you go try this today. Oh, very good. There's no davening.
Right.
Wonderful. You know, there's no problem. You got to know your customers.
Hey,
okay.
Because it was Rav Steinman.
Right. Also, with Eretz Yisrael, it's a different environment. Yeah, obviously, it worked in a certain setting. There are many, many, many factors, variables that you cannot generalize such a story. But, you know, in shul, you have to also judge. What would happen if the rabbi would say that davening is 9 o'clock on Shabbos, and Baruch Hu is 9:25, and the Olam walks in, most of the people walk in at 9:20. So you know what? At 9:05, the doors are locked. The doors are locked. Go daven somewhere else. There's no shortage of shuls in the neighborhood. What would happen in your shul? Well, I don't want. Well, it depends. Is it a privately owned shul? Is the shul does it have a contract or the balabatim? You don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, if no one's doing this, obviously it's not good. It's not going to work. But who knows? Rabbi Reisman told me personally many times. I was in his shir for a short time, for like 6 months. I was in the shir, and then after I was in the shir, maybe this was more, maybe it was there for over a year. I don't remember anymore. It was such a long time ago. He told me many times that it was up to him, Tarvadas, the doors are locked at 9:15. That's it. The doors are locked.
As
it was up to him. If he was in charge of this place, at that time he wasn't in charge. I don't know if he's in charge now either. But in those days, he was not in charge. He just gave a shir. And there were many other people that were in charge. And
did
he would.
Let the bracha into his own class?
He did. I mean, his class, this was packed, you should know. His class, a two?
No. This is fully hated.
You know, he used to do that in YU? Rabbi
Bornstein. He would say that I would.
He his own son. And if the rough wasn't there. So his son was in the rough shear at that time. So he came into here just as far.
Today that would never happen.
In the middle of his year. He told him to get out.
Today that would never happen. A whole new world today.
Did he call up his parent?
What?
Did he call up his parent?
Yeah. Everybody was laughing.
And he claimed, he told, I had this conversation with him many times. He said to me, he claims that in here, in this setting, it would do wonders.
I don't.
Everyone would be here on time. He says the students here are on the border. And if you lock the doors, they're not going to go away. They're going to come. They're going to come. They're going to be here before you lock the doors. It would do wonders for the time.
What about coming to the shiur late?
What, here?
Yeah.
What about reading a newspaper? reading a newspaper?
You know the story.
There's one thing about doing it discreet. What about sitting right in front of me and reading the newspaper? Okay. I mean, that's really over the top, no?
Right, yeah.
That's
yeah,
over the top, right in front of me. You want to do it discreet. I spoke about it many times. It's not the first time I spoke about it.
All right, I didn't hear it.
Okay, I spoke about it many times.
And just for myself.
No one listens, so what am I going to go say?
I need a monitor. I have to exonerate myself. The reason I come late.
Don't worry about it. I'm not. This is a different type of share.
But the other thing is,
you know, there's one thing I understand. People, it's a long share. I understand fully. I really get it. But I don't know. It's whatever. Now, let's go weiter.
They don't throw you out if you come late to davening, but for 2 years we had a president who said you can't have kiddush. If you come after 9:15, you're not entitled to have the kiddush.
See, today none of this works. Today we live in a world, this does not work. It does not, this approach doesn't go, what can you say? Let's go further. Okay, so over here, I am in the middle of. Let's go to the words over here. The second. Let's go to page 511. We are in the Radak, the second line, 511. We include over there the yichud, the cholavavai, the chol single view is that when it comes to tefillin, the gavur intention of yichud. Every l'shem yichud, Rav Michal told us some very beautiful idea. These ideas of yichud, and Rav Kalman mentioned some ideas. But like we once discussed this, that look, Litvaks are not fans of saying l'shem yichud. We once discussed this. But there's one l'shem yichud that is kodesh kodashim. Even the biggest Litvak will say, and that's the l'shem yichud for tefillin. And to mention is that if a person does come late. And there's a whole issue, you know, when it comes to Pesukah de Zimra and Korbanos. But people think the first thing on the chopping board is, you think I'm going to say L'Shem Yichud for Tefillin after davening is over? I haven't said L'Shem Yichud in decades. Some people will tell you, I haven't said...
Lubavitch doesn't say L'Shem
Yichud. What?
I don't think Lubavitch says L'Shem Yichud.
For Tefillin?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Consider putting on Tefillin.
I don't believe it.
Because what are you saying, L'Shem Yichud?
I don't believe it. You have to go look into that. If that's really so, in the Siddur in Lubavitch, they don't have L'Shem Yichud in the Siddur in the Ari. In the Ari Siddur, they have such a Lubavitch of Siddur, and it's hard to believe they don't say L'Shem Yichud. Lubavitch Rebbe, Lubavitch and Tefillin. I mean, what are you talking about over here? Lubavitch. This is by Lubavitch. This is. Bread and butter. I mean, this is who they are. They don't say L'Shem Yichud. In any event, but this thing is just, I remember when I heard this, it really shook me up, is that if you don't say the L'Shem, if you come late to davening, so you want to skip the Pesukah de Zimra, you don't want to make it up. I don't see people making it up. I don't see it happening. The Shabbos, see people making up the Pesukah de Zimra? I don't see it. Oh, you're going to make korbanos? Forget about it. There's nothing to talk about. Who's going to be interested in making up korbanos? L'Shem Yichud? Are you joking? L'Shem Yichud? Like, what is this, Purim Spiel? Guess what? Even if you're not going to make up Sukkot Zimra, you're not going to make up karbanos and psukah d'zimra, guess what? You should still say when davening is over l'shem yichud. Probably, I don't know if it's nice to say this, it's probably more important to say the l'shem yichud than it is to say the two parashiyos of kadesh and vayoki v'yacha. Some will not be curious of saying that. How could I say such a thing, right? To say you have to say the four parashiyos. Shema, v'hoyom shemaya, kadesh, v'hoyoki v'yacha. It's in the Siddur. After you put on tefillin, you're supposed to say those four parashiyos. Psukim of the Torah. Kodesh kodashim. Psukim of the Torah. But it's very, you're not mechuyif to say the parashiyos. You're not mechuyif to say the parashiyos. But you're mechuyif to have kavon to be yotze the mitzvah. A mitzvah de'oraisa, mitzvahs tzrichos kavona. That's no joke. Mitzvahs tzrichos kavona. To plop a box on your head every day in a mindless way and wrap these straps around your arm and then just go into autopilot and think about all your problems, what kind of life is that? Is that you're mekayim the mitzvah of mitzvahs tzrichos kavona? So if a person comes late to shul and you skip sugah d'zimra and you skip Rabbi, it's not so important to disturb the shul with this. It's not so important. A person comes late to shul and he skips psukah d'zimra and he skips karbanos and he rattles through davening. Davening pretty much is derabanan. To be yoytzet tefillah, there's a whole shaila tefillah d'oraisa, tefillah b'derabanan. When it's an ace pashtus, this tefillah is only d'oraisa when tefillah is an ace tzara. When it's not an ace tzara, then tefillah is not mukhach that it's d'oraisa. Even if it is d'oraisa, just saying moda'ani lefanecha melechai v'kayom probably yoytz also b'd'oraisa tefillah. So everything you're doing is d'rabanans, pretty much. So what's the only d'oraisa you're really doing in the morning?
Kriyashma.
What? Okay, Kriyashma, that's correct. Kriyashma, you are absolutely correct. To say Shema, to say that one pasuk, to say the, at least one pasuk, Shema Yisrael Shem Lecheinu l'chatchila, until the first parasha l'chatchila. Middle ground is the pasuk l'ahavta. It's right, it's d'oraisa. But after that, what are you doing l'maisa, a mitzvah that you can touch and feel? Tefillin. That's d'oraisa. And a mitzvah d'oraisa, the halacha is, in Shulchan Aruch, no one disagrees, a mitzvah d'oraisa, mitzvahs tzrichos kavana. That's it. There's, you can't argue with that.
What about matzah? Some people say the Shem Yuchad to say before they eat the matzah.
Somehow that's a hefsek. He's saying there's a very big problem with the saying l'shem yichud when they by the seder. That's a halachic issue because when exactly? Okay, it's a different topic of discussion. Not for now. There's a whole different topic. We once spoke about this. Rav Herschel Shach has a very, very beautiful chidush about the l'shem yichud. The l'shem yichud by the seder. He's a big fan of l'shem yichud. Rav Herschel Shach, if I'm not mistaken, but not the way it's presented in the Haggadah. In the common Haggadah, he feels that it's shleik halacha, if I'm not mistaken. I heard a very good share from him once on this. But let's not go there for the moment. Let's just talk about davening. Let's get sidetracked. Let's talk about davening. There's only one besides kriyashma, which is not a mitzvah that you do a maisa. The only thing you do a maisa is tefillin. Tefillin to a degree is much more choshev than tzitzis. Because tzitzis, he doesn't really mechuyev in tzitzis. If you have a garment that's four corners, so you put on tzitzis, you're putting yourself in a position to chayv tzitzis. But tefillin is a little bit different. Tefillin is v'shamarta es hachukah hazos l'modam yomim yomima. We paskin today. Miyamim yomima means daily. Every single day, this is how we paskin, you have an obligation to put those boxes on your head. It is a mitzvah d'araisa, it's a maisa. It's d'araisa, you need kavana. If you mindlessly walk into shul and do without kavana, who says you yoytze the mitzvah? So therefore you have what's called a l'shem yichud. Oh, but I'm a litvak. I'm not a chassid. So you're a litvak. All the litvaks bow before the holiness of the l'shem yichud before you put on tefillin. What happens if you come late and you skip everything. You skip the ikar hadin. You skip the psuk of the zimra, the karbanos. But you know what? Tefillin is deraisa. And you have to have kavana, you know what you're doing. You know you're doing a mitzvah. It's worthy if the only thing you're going to be mashlim after davening is over is one thing. The most important thing to say is, l'shem yichud for tefillin. davening is over, everyone's running out of shul, you're still wearing your tefillin, you came late, you didn't say l'shem yichud, say the l'shem yichud. That way, at least when you mekayim the mitzvah, the rice of tefillin, you're saying the l'shem yichud. You're reading what it says there. What is the purpose of tefillin? This is a mitzvah deraisa.
What?
What's inside the tefillin? Everything. Everything about the tefillin. Because that's exactly, it's one of the reasons that... Right, that's also why it's unique among the l'shem yichud. Because the tefillin itself, captures the essence of Meir was saying. It captures the essence of what a l'shem yichud is, more so than any mitzvah. So it's this a very interesting idea what a person should make up.
Now let's go. According to Rabbeinu Kugel,
yeah,
the old Siddurim, Ashkenaz Siddurim, did not have L'shem Yichud,
yeah,
only before Bar Shama, and that the Bar Shama, the L'shem Yichud, you said before Bar Shama, was for all your tefillahs.
When was the first Siddur to put a L'shem Yichud in for tefillin?
But it says it comes from Zoya from Dari, but.
Of course,
every
it comes
place
right.
It's a minig that not of most course. People do. Most.
Most what?
Most people say it.
L'shem yichud for
tefillin.
Even a litvax.
Most.
Most, but not all. So who's the not all?
Huh?
Who's the not all? Those who come late. Those who come late and are lazy.
No, he said
those who don't.
L'shem yichud before tefillin came in much later into the Ashkenazim.
Okay, the Siddur, Siddur was a long process of how it evolved. And even when they printed the Siddur, you couldn't print every little thing in the Siddur, you know. It was a different time. All right, let's go further. Let's, Hatsnea Leches. Hatsnea of Yomar V'Hatsnea, Ki Adavar Hazem Mosul Lelev, Hu Devar Tzni'us. Okay, this matter is Mosul Lelev, Yir HaShemayim. It's something hidden. With fear to Hashem. He's saying over here that both of them are ben adam lachaveroi. Mishpat is dinim. Chesed is also gimilus chasad v'astei alech v'lokech hazeh hoitzos hanes v'achnosas kala harei dvarim kal v'chayim ma dvarim she'in darkom la'asoysam b'tzina omro toira v'hatsnei alech. Even these matters, burial is done in public, marriage gets married in public, and even these things Hashem says hatsnei alech. Dvarim shedarkon la'asoysan b'tzina al achas kama v'kama. Here though, he's telling us over here, the Chazal is reminding us that when it comes to weddings, weddings are not meant to be over the top. Okay, weddings over here, hatsnea leches, that funerals should not be over the top, and weddings should not be over the top. It used to be funerals were more expensive than weddings. Okay, it used to be that when a funeral, Chazal said, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who was it? In Yochanan Zakkai, he was misaking that when I die, bury me in tachrichin. It used to be that you would be buried, a person would be buried in his tuxedo.
The big suda, the 10 cups of wine.
10 cups of
wine. That's when they called it quits.
Funerals was a major, major social event. It was a major social event.
Was it
Gamaliel? Gamaliel, okay, I could be, I forgot. It was the casket. And no, the mausoleum. You go today. Look, you go to a cemetery today. You look at these mausoleums. Look at these edifices they build. It's like not real. Mayor, you know all about all this. You show me all. Give you a tour on these magnificent. How much do these things cost?
To take the stained glass windows.
How much do these things? What?
We break in to take the stained glass windows.
How much do these things cost? It's like not real.
80,000.
80,000 today to build it today new. One of these things probably costs a lot more than that. So, Hatsnei Leches, the Torah says when it comes to burial, that's not the way to go. That's not the way. That's not the way to go build this magnificent building. That's not what Hashem wants. That's not a proper. We're not discussing that the money should go somewhere else. Not, forget about the money. Keep the money. Go bury the money also. It's not for your honor. Someone should come to the cemetery and should see this big, magnificent building. Who is this person? such a wealthy person, such a fancy burial, such a fancy grave? Is that what Hashem really wants from a Jew? In your death, when people come into the cemetery, it's not a mila to see these matzevos that are over the top. It's not. Hatznei lechas. Feresha chazal. Explicit chazal. You do average. What everyone else, don't just do the cheapest thing, obviously. You do what everyone else does. Whatever they have in this cemetery, this is the standard. There's a certain standard for every cemetery. In Eretz Yisrael, they have their standards. In America, they are their standards. You do what everyone else does. Don't stick out and go build for yourself some who knows what. It's a chazal, hatznei lechas. A wedding, you do what's the standard. Okay, there are certain standards in society. You have to make a poor shvach wedding for a pauper. Okay, you have whatever is the standard.
Why do chazal make restrictions on
what?
Burial? As I know, the Gemara
was breaking the people's back financially.
And they didn't make restrictions on weddings. Was it because weddings, as you said, were cheaper?
It could be it wasn't necessary. It wasn't an issue. It could be it wasn't necessary. We know that they made weddings Friday night to save money, the Shabbos meal. Weddings took off, a good part of weddings taking off like crazy is because of technology.
Because of what?
Technology. Because today you have to study time. When film, when cameras came into this world, and then video, and then technology of electricity and their band, and when new technology was entered into the world, that is where, wow, so let's use this for a wedding. And once you're taking a picture, you're going to preserve what the chos and kala look like for posterity. Oh, so you got to really look your best. You got to buy a very expensive gown, a very expensive suit. Taking pictures, we're going to preserve this forever. And then there's a video, and then there's this, and then each thing feeds off itself. Before you turn around, it's a nightmare. And people are going out of their mind, they can't afford. And then there's all this pressure.
It's happening with Bachnas now.
That's right.
Bachnas is almost like a mini wedding. They put in the colored lights, they put on the
outrageous, right? And what about an upsharon? Upsharon, I didn't have an upsharon. I didn't even know what an upsharon was until recently. All of a sudden, upsharon, okay, now it's a whole ceremony. It's all, you have to go to a Rebbe. And the Rebbe has to cut the hair, and they give a lollipop, and they do this. You know how much money, time, you have to go to Eretz Yisrael, you have a grandchild, that's 30-year-old, the whole family, the grandparents got to shell out $10,000 to go, hotel, to pay for everything for the children. What, for an upsharon? Did you have an upsharon? Did you even know what the word upsharon means? What happened? A vachnach, you told a vachnach, they have a tent. It's not enough, you have to have a tent. I went to a vachnach. They had a caterer, was serving food. It was great, I had a great supper. A great supper. But like, come on, what's this all about on it? This is the tent. You're right. Everything,
yep.
It feeds off. To Chazal, they didn't have these problems because they were very poor, more or less, time of Chazal. They didn't have the technology. And the technology also, that's the problem with Facebook. You bring everyone into your bedroom, bring everyone into your living room, everyone. So it creates a certain intensity where you got to keep up. If you don't know about this, then I don't know, you don't know, leave me alone. Let me do what I want to do. I personally believe is that a lot of that we have today is a result of technology. Technology has given man the ability to preserve. Come to someone's house, look at the wedding album, they show you, wow. And now with social media, where you enter in, you can just go online, you can enter into a person's life. And in certain societies, if you don't have a Facebook page, you're nothing. It's like you don't have a name. If you don't have a Facebook page presenting who you are and what you're all about, like you're garbage. It's part of the pressure, social pressure. To have these things, it's not a. Yeah, the Facebook. What's it called? Instagram. Instagram's gewaltig. Oh, Instagram. I personally, you can waste the whole day. Just the addiction to Instagram is just mind-boggling, and Twitter is already. You know, Trump. They should really put him on the payroll. Sure. The only reason why Twitter is still around is because of Trump.
You can't afford it.
They're almost bankrupt, Twitter. They were almost bankrupt. Trump made Twitter. What?
Is it also because, you know, thank God, I guess, we have a lot of wealthy individuals in the Jewish
community. Yechidim. Yechidim have a lot of. The Hamoinam doesn't have.
They set a standard. Like, I went to a wedding 2 weeks ago. There's a hall in Borough Park, and they one of these Takana halls. And it was a very limited shmuk, very limited. One, two hot dishes. The people were shocked. They were hungry. And they had the meal, you know, a simple meal. Usual,
it's fine. I've got most.
We have these schools now. We have the Takana halls where in Manhattan Beach Jewish Center, I know they have it. We went to a
it's very nice. Yeah, I know.
This week I was there. 36,
it's subsidized. It's subsidized. It. All right. Let's not. This is not a show on weddings. Let's go weiter. He points out this point. Hatsnei leches. Chazal say two things: burial, death, and weddings. Okay, let's see over here the Malbum. Going back to pay Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav in the Malbum. Yes.
It seems that everything included here in this encapsulation of what I said once is Beinonim L'Chaveiro.
Good point. Well, the last thing, Hatsnei Lechatz, in Chazal's words is also Beinonim L'Chaveiro. Well, yeah, okay. Okay, right. Okay, that's right. That's right, okay. And it's a very good contrast. Hashem does not want the Beinonim L'Chaveiro. He starts it with Alfei Elim, Rivos Nachlesh. All of the things over there are in Echanami. You're saying very good. That's been Odom L'Chaveiro. Hashem wants that you should emphasize Beinonim L'Chaveiro more than Bein Adam LaMakom. Excellent. That's a really important point.
Doesn't that derive between what Achav did, the Ringan, what happened to Achav, that they didn't reach people in the battle, and by Dovid HaMelech, they did, even though there was...
Because there was Achdus. Achdus. The Dor HaMabul versus the Dor HaFloga. The Dor HaMabul was Gezel. Gezel is the ultimate breach, Bein Adam LaChaveroi. Dor HaFloga, they were Mu'uchad. Mm-hmm. They were together. They all were unified in their rebellion against Hashem. There's Achdus. Wow, pretty good. Achdus. Something, at least something brings you together. And so Hashem didn't destroy the world. He let the world go on. He just separated them. So exactly, this is a Dover Poshut. But Rav Michal emphasizes, brings out, which I didn't realize, is exactly what's happening here in Pasuk Vav Zayin Ches. A person, what are you, a fool to think that all Hashem wants has been Adam Lamakoim? Bamo Akadem Hashem Ikaflu Kemorim, you Kribonos, this, that. No! Hashem wants Adam. Maybe that's also why it emphasizes Higilchol Adam. You start off Bamo Akadem Hashem. And Hashem says, no, you got it wrong. It's not Bamo Akadem Hashem, it's Bamo Akadem Adam. You got it all wrong. That's maybe why there's an emphasis of Adam presented here in this section. Let's just look for a few minutes at the beginning of the Malbum Pasuk Vav. Bamo Akadem Hashem Misaper B'mamar Muskar. This is a parenthetical statement. We learned this. Remember the Malbum was the most novel. Malbum L'shitosai. He went and he explained that everything over here was coming to answer the question Bamo Hel A Sicha Anevi is coming to explain that you the Avera of worshipping of Gili Arayos that happened in the aftermath of Bilam and Balak. Remember that was what we discussed. The Malbim went out on a limb. He was different than all of the commentators, they take Pasuk Vav Zayin Ches. It's nothing to do with anything that we learned before. It's a whole new sugya, a new topic. Nothing, don't make any connection. According to the Malbum, he strongly disagreed. Pasuk Vav, Zayin, and Ches is a direct continuation of Balak and Bilam. After Bilam refused to curse Klal Yisrael, he gave advice that Balak and his nation should cause them to be Nichshol Gili Arayos, which ultimately did happen. And Klal Yisrael then realized they are in a lot of trouble. They did a terrible Averos. And now they said to themselves in the desert, what should we do? How in the desert? It's a shocking interpretation, because it means that in the desert, they were contemplating human sacrifice. If not learning this malbim, you would never, ever, ever think that's correct. When you talk about this idea of moilich, of giving your children to a god, human sacrifice, all of these things, that didn't apply to the Dor HaMidbar. What are you kidding? Dor HaMidbar, the Dor Dea, they ever contemplated human sacrifice? No way. This idea of moilich and human sacrifice was something which first came into our conscience in the time of the kings, of the Malchei Yisrael, 480 years later, even more than that later, way, way, way after that, when they came into Eretz Yisrael long, long later. That's the first record we have of them actually discussing this. Along comes the Malbim, and he says the most shocking things. That no, we're discussing the Dor HaMidbar. The Dor HaMidbar, there's a Maisa of Bilam and Balak. The advice was, cause them to be Nichshol and Gili Arayos. He succeeded. There was a Magefa. 24,000 people died. Klal Yisrael were very worried, what's going to be next, who's next? And they contemplated, you know what, we'll bring Hashem, our children, as sacrifices to atone for our Avera. They teach that to you in kindergarten? They didn't teach that to me in kindergarten. That's a whole new mahalich. That's what he says. Who would ever imagine such a thing? So that's what he said. He was very brave. Bamo akadem Hashem. Misaber b'mama muska. This is a parenthetic statement. Ma sha'amu Yisrael oz achrei shenichshalu b'tshitim b'bal par. After they when they would stumble and shitim b'bal par. Hey, mishalu b'me akadem Hashem. Be'ezem mincha nudova akad men parim mitzad shu Hashem. Mahadakol hamitzius. What he disposed of Yudke Vovke, that Hashem, he's the creator, he's the creator. What are we gonna do now? We're in a lot of trouble, we did an Avera. Oh Shalu, they asked, Bamo Ikaf Lilokeim, you know, we have to repeat the words. Bamo, the way we learn this, you have to repeat the word twice. Bamo akadem Hashem, Bamo Ikaf Lilokeim Maroim, Ikaf Lilokeim Maroim, Acha Shechotos Lufna Ve'etzdorech. Now that I've sinned, I need to humble myself and I need to ask forgiveness. What should I do? How do you go about the process of teshuvah? That is Yudke Vavke, and then there's another dimension of the Ribbono Shel Olam called Elokei Maroim. So therefore, you see, come to will beautify his interpretation. There are two different things that were bothering Klal Yisrael. Number one, that the Ribbono Shel Olam has a dimension to him called Yudke Vavke, and he has another dimension of Elokim. So we have to satisfy both of those dimensions. So for the tzad of the Yudke Vavke, I'll bring karbonos. Hakdamenu be'olos b'mash avi elav agolim b'nei shana le'ola. Animal sacrifices will take care of the dimension of Yudke Vavke. I'm just saying words here. I don't even know what these things really mean. And then, with regard, Pasuk Zayin, Hayirtze Hashem halo lo yirtze gam ba'alfi elim shetoivim me'agolim. Maybe lo yirtze ba'alfa elim shetoy me'agol. Maybe it's not enough. Maybe I'll bring also elim, which are more expensive than calves. The gam beruvos nachle shomen shavim liniske ha'olos oil. I'm going to bring liniske ha'olos. So that's very good. Nachle shomen. What about the? Is that a mincha? So I don't really know what he means over here. He's not saying the word mincha. Niske normally means wine we offer as nisochim. We don't offer oil as nisochim. Is he trying to say over here, like just like this nose, maybe what the Malba means to say is that Klal Yisrael, it's a very interesting idea, when they're very desperate, they innovate and they come up with a new religion. They invent new things. So what will be a new thing? You have a Beis HaMikdash. They have the Mishkan in the desert. We're very desperate. So what are we going to do now? We're in a lot of trouble. Let's invent new halachas. We'll bring human sacrifices. What else can we invent? We'll bring nesachim, libations, not of wine, but of oil. You never heard that before. That's original.
That's in the Torah of Shemin Lo Sosuch, Ki Yishal Zeh Sefer.
Okay, but they're inventing over here, the way he's explaining over here, it seems like they're coming now when you're very desperate. Like people are very desperate, they do anything. Alternative medicines, all these type of things, they go to Mekubalim, you hear people that go to Mekubalim, things like what are you doing? You never, it's out of desperation, you do desperate things.
Korbanos.
What?
They have already the Mishkan, they brought Korbanos.
Right, but now they're coming to...
Not enough.
So let's do more. So what did the Torah did not tell us? That we'll bring human sacrifices. The Torah told us to pour on the Mizbeach Yayin. You know what we're going to do? We'll pour on the Mizbeach oil. That's a new one, right? You didn't hear that one before.
Addition,
a new thing. Isn't that what he seems to be saying over here, according to that's not what the other commentators, they say when it says nisochim, the shemen, it means for the menachos. The Malma maybe is coming, going a step further, trying to explain Shan the Pasik, again, to invent a new Shulchan Aruch.
Or are they bringing...
Don't we have that today?
Of course we have that today. You have new things. Talk about. I'm not being. I don't mean to be critical because the people you have like new things like Kalbach Slichos. This is a new thing. This whole approach. This is not something that
this is
our
like an upgrade.
What?
The way we read the Malbim, at least the first part, we're bringing the Elam versus
what?
The Golem. It's like they're upgraded.
Right. That at least has precedent. That's legal precedent. But there are certain things being presented in the past that we've never heard of before. We've never heard of human sacrifices. Now we go to the next section. What about the dimension of Hashem that is called Elokei Marom? How do we explain that? What is that going to be? Attain b'chori pishi. Should I give children? For the dimension of Elokei Marom, I will appease Hashem with human sacrifices. Uvad chad asnav shishu kashogig etin privitni shein bonim hakatanim.
So for human sacrifice, they're bringing the firstborn, which is the best they have.
Exactly, that's for the mezidim, he says, and then for the shkogois, we'll bring the other children. The bechor will atone for the mezid, and the other children will atone for the shogig. Shein bonim hakatanim kain shaltem us. This is what the Jewish people have asked and made a request of Micha. And his response, according to Malm, we'll have to wait until next week.